And on the way out, I looked at the revival calendar and saw that Ron was going to bring a devotion before I preached. And it made me a little nervous. It's a big follow-up, but I'm thankful for Brother Ron and I'm thankful for the kind words he spoke about me. I certainly don't deserve them, but I'm thankful for him. Thankful for his influence. I've been able to sit under him at minister schools and in different times, and just always enjoyed hearing him. But thankful to be here tonight. And I don't know anybody's hearts tonight here tonight. I could be preaching to a room full of saved people. I could be preaching to a room full of lost people. That I don't know. But I do know this much, that before this night's over, you can have peace with God if you truly get your heart right tonight. And that's the whole reason that we're still here. There are a lot of people in your life that may love you. There are a lot of people, and I want to preface all this with saying this. I bring nothing new to you tonight. I've just got this Bible, and if I try to preach anything new, you need to run me out of here. But y'all just bear with me and just pray for me, and the Lord will bless you. But there's a lot of people that may love you here tonight, and I love you. I don't know everybody in here's name. I just know a handful of you. But I love everybody in here tonight. Nobody loves you quite like God loves you. And there is no love that you can understand. And I believe that we can't even begin to fathom or scrape the surface to begin to understand the amount of love that God has, not just for us because we're here in His house and we're trying to worship Him, but the amount of love that God has for everybody that ever has been, that is, and that will be in this world. I want to go all the way back to Genesis and the creation of this world and of man. Before, oftentimes we as humans, we get ourselves in situations where we say, if I would have known it would have happened like that, I probably wouldn't have done it that way. I want us to go all the way back and look at how God created this earth and how He created even us tonight. The Bible says that God always has been and He always will be. He is the Alpha and Omega, and oftentimes scientists want to try to wrap their minds around where this world came from and how it got here and all this, and they spend their whole lives, when the answer is right here, God spoke everything into existence. He spent 6 days speaking everything that is in existence round about us, everything that we can comprehend, we can see, all the stars in the universe that goes into great expanse. We've built telescopes and these great seeing equipment. We can't even see the end of our universe because God's that powerful to make it that big. He made this beautiful earth. I've been fortunate to travel to some beautiful places and see some beautiful things that could have only been painted by the hand of God. He created the life forms, the biology and the chemistry that makes up this world. God created it with, I believe, His own bare hands, and He spoke into existence. But the thing that amazes me is at the end of every day, the Bible recounts what God said. To everything He created, God said, and it was good.
Amen.
But He got to that sixth day, and He created the animals of earth, and then He went on to create man. And God said, let us, that's the Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, and His Son was there for it. Let us make man in our own image, and after our likeness. The same God that just spent 6 days creating a world and a universe we can't even understand, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them have dominion over everything that we just created. He went on to say, it says God created man in His own image, which you are tonight, created in the image of a mighty God.
Amen.
It says He blessed them and He told them to be fruitful and to multiply. And for time's sake, I'm not going to read it, but I want to get to the 31st verse where it says God saw everything that He had made up to this point. And it took Him till the end of the sixth day after He created us. Now think of us. I want you to really understand the wickedness of man, because you have to understand that tonight to appreciate what God said about that you would be that way. He knew that we would be, as the Bible says, and I might get to it tonight, it's in Galatians 6 and 3, that man is nothing. A whole bunch of nothing. And he got to the end of that 6 day, and he said, "Behold, today was very good."
Yeah.
Because he had created us. An unworthy, filthy sinner, which is what you are tonight. There is nothing good about you tonight. Whether you're old and you've lived a good life, or whether you're young and you've tried to live a good life, or wherever you find yourself, there is nothing really that good about you tonight. But God got to the end of the 6 day after He created Adam and He formed him out of the dust of the earth, and He said, "This is my creation." The only thing He created in His life.
Amen.
The only thing. How beautiful is this earth that we live in? And I've had some times where I just had my breath taken away by the beauty of God. And if you haven't, I hope you get to someday. But He looked at man at the end of 6 days, and He said everything else was good. But He said, "Man, that I love so much, this creation that's going to turn it back on me, that's going to not listen to me, that's going to sin against me, that's going to probably at times hate me, would you at some point or another probably hated God?" He said, "It's very good."
Yeah.
Boy, if that don't make our heart rejoice tonight, that a God that holds all this in the palm of His hand and is mighty and powerful would just say that about us.
Yeah.
You know, this world wants to run people down, and it wants to say all this negative about everybody, and you can't turn on the TV or the radio or anything without saying something negative about somebody. You know, God knew that that person would be here and said, "It's very good that I've created you."
Amen.
It loved us enough that when we would become wicked, vile sinners like you are tonight, in His most prized creation tonight, would turn its back on Him, He still said, "I love them enough that I would have sent my only begotten Son to die for
them." Amen.
Just the fact that Jesus, whether you ever get saved or not, just the fact that Jesus was willing to come die for you ought to excite you.
Amen.
Oh, and it will excite everybody one day after a while.
Yeah.
I think even those that die and go to hell for a little brief moment of time, they've got to have some excitement before the Lord casts them off into hell. And then they quickly realize where they're headed. Their excitement turns to horror. We ought to be excited tonight of the opportunity that we have through Jesus Christ. We ought to be excited for the fact that He would even call somebody as unworthy as you and I. That He would be so personable to somebody such as you and I. I want to go to Romans for just a brief moment of time. And we need to understand who we are tonight. It's important whether you're here tonight and you're lost. And I hope that if you're here tonight and you're lost, I hope the Lord tears you up over this. I hope the Lord breaks you down over this. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God."
Amen.
You know, there's not ever one person except Jesus Christ that's ever stepped foot on this work, on this earth, that was worth anything else. I don't care what anybody says about you, or what your teachers say about you, or what your grades are, or what your bank account is, or where you live, or what you drive, or what you have, or whatever it may be. You're a whole lot of nothing tonight. I don't care how good a kid your parents think you are, because you're not. In God's eyes, you're wicked tonight. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, And you know what the Bible says that we that means that we deserve? That means that all, excluding none, deserve the nine split hell wide open tonight. There's not a person. Are these speakers hooked up outside?
Oh, that excites me.
There's not a one of us that deserves to die and go to hell, or to go to heaven. We all deserve to die and go to hell tonight. Because we're all a bunch of filthy sinners, but thanks be unto God tonight that He loved us enough that before He ever created this earth, He said, I love you enough that He made His Son to be a lamb slain before the foundation of this earth.
Amen.
Before He ever spoke the first thing into existence, before He ever created any of this, He said, I know that Anthony Kidd's going to be a wicked sinner. But I love him as my creation enough that I want to give him a chance.
Amen.
And if you're here tonight and you're lost and you're still able to draw air, and if you're here tonight and you're listening and you're still drawing air, it's because God's still giving you a chance tonight.
Amen.
For no other reason besides that.
I'm in good health. That's why I'm still alive.
No. No, it ain't because you got good health tonight. It ain't because of any of that. It's because God is allowing you as an unworthy sinner to have another breath of life tonight.
Amen.
If you're here tonight and you're saved and you're still drawing air, it's because God is allowing you to still draw air.
Right.
Romans 5 and 12. After God created all that He had created, and He said it was good, and He created Adam, and He said Adam was very good, He left Adam with one little simple rule.
Right.
I know, isn't it man's nature? When we've got just one rule, we're going to break it. A lot of people say, all Adam had to do was not eat that fruit. He couldn't pull that off. You couldn't have pulled it off either tonight. Don't get so self-righteous that you think you wouldn't ate that fruit.
That's right.
Because you would. Because you're human and that's your nature tonight. That's part of being left free will tonight. It says sin entered in by one man and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. That's the reason we're subject to die. Because of sin tonight. It says for that all have sinned. For until the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgressions, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, sin entered into the world through one man.
Yes.
And caused death to come to all men, but much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many.
Amen.
How big of a blessing is it tonight that even though all the sin that is ever going to happen entered in through one man, the ability to overcome all that sin was weighed down upon one man.
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. How beautiful is it tonight? How beautiful is it tonight that even though we're a bunch of sinners, that a salvation has come unto all men.
You know, if you get many people's opinions for long, you'd discover that there's a lot of people out there that think there's some people who should go to heaven.
Simple fact of the matter is none of them should. But I love this verse. Romans 10 and 13, and for whoever's listening here tonight, and for whoever's listening out there on the streets, I'm here to tell you, yeah, you are a sinner, but you also have a chance tonight.
Amen.
It says, Romans 10 and 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord
And it didn't exclude anybody there when it says, for whosoever. But that didn't exclude you, whether you're black or you're white or you're Hispanic or you're woman or you're man or you've got money or you're poor. It doesn't exclude anybody from the statement, because that's how much love God has tonight. He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that simple tonight. You know, God didn't make a great grand scheme that was hard for man to figure out when it comes to salvation. We turn it into that, but it's pretty simple.
Amen.
He didn't say you had to be baptized to believe you'd leave on the cross. He didn't say you had to give up your money. He didn't say anything. Then Romans 10 and 13. Whosoever shall call the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
You know, the Bible is just one big love story. If there was ever a verse of Scripture to show more love than that, except for John 3:16, I don't know that you can pick anymore. No exclusion to say. Yet people still die and go to hell. I don't know if I bring this out, so I marked it anyways, but I want to go to it. If you're here tonight, you're lost, you turn away to the Lord, you're a fool. And that ain't my words. I think this is a powerful verse of Scripture, and I feel like we ought to bring it out. It says in Proverbs 1 and 2, it begins reading, it says, to know wisdom and instructions, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and iniquity, to give subtly to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Don't you remember, if you're here tonight, you're saved, when the fear of the Lord came in to your heart? But it says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I was here last night and I heard some good instruction. Ron just gave some good instruction. I don't know that I'm going to give much good instruction. But you are a fool tonight. If the Lord knocks on your heart and He lets you know you're lost, then I don't have to do it. Ron won't do it. Nobody in this building will do it. Nobody will let you know you're lost except for God Himself.
Amen.
And to turn away that good instruction there because the Holy Spirit, I can tell you what you need to do, but nobody will tell a lost sinner what they need to do better than the Holy Spirit Himself.
Amen.
To turn away that Holy Spirit knocking on your heart and trying to get in, the Bible likens you unto a fool. You can have all the PhDs and the college education and be the smartest man alive, but if you don't have God in your heart tonight, you're a fool. An ignorant one. That's what the Bible says. Tonight, if you're here and you're lost, and you know you're lost, and you do nothing about it tonight, you are an ignorant fool. A hell-bound ignorant fool. And if it breaks your heart, I hope it does. Because I don't want to see you die and go to hell tonight.
Amen.
And you're going to have that broken heart and that contrite spirit before you'll ever get saved tonight. Boy, about the best thing that a lost person can have is a broken heart and a contrite spirit.
Man.
About the best thing that you can have as a lost person is that crushing feeling. And if you're here tonight and you're lost, and you're listening to me tonight and you're lost, and you don't have that, you better ask God for that.
Amen.
Because till God crushes you and breaks you down and shows you that you are nothing, you'll still just be as hell-bound as you've ever been.
That's right.
For us that are saved, is there anything better tonight than to know the love of God?
Amen.
some of the best scriptures you can read to understand how good the love of God is. Just read about the crucifixion. Boy, when you start to understand what Jesus left, because He was sitting at the right hand of His Father in heaven on high, and that's what He left, knowing. You know, don't you think that God Himself knew when He created man, He said it was very good. He knew He would create the lineage to the Roman soldiers that would beat my Jesus, and He still said it's very good because He loved us. And don't you know Jesus left heaven on high, knowing that He would come to an earth and to a death that would be more painful tonight than anybody's ever experienced. You can't even begin, I don't think, to imagine what Jesus went through in His last 12 hours. Between the humiliation, having His clothes ripped in twain, and being spat upon and smote up against the head with a reed. I believe those Roman soldiers, they drew back and they hit Him upside the head with that reed with all that they had tonight. And when they brought those whips back, they brought them down forward with all their strength because they wanted to humiliate Him. This man that came because He loved you and knew what He would experience. You know, He suffered it all. And the whole time, He said, how personal my God is. I think the whole time that those Roman soldiers beat Him and they whipped Him and they mocked Him and they spat upon Him and they ripped His clothes in twain and they just humiliated Him to the best they can and they drug Him out in the center of the city and they beat Him there and they whipped Him there and they humiliated Him there. The whole time, I don't think He forgot about you. No, not just human race in general. I think He knew you by name even at that time. And He said, I love Him, so I'll go through with this.
Amen.
As He marched up the Golgotha Hill, couldn't even carry His own cross. He was so weak. I imagine they had to kick Him up that hill. No, He didn't forget about you on His way to death. And He knew everybody, those that would reject Him. He knew those that would save Him, and He would save Him. Oh, He didn't forget about not a single one. And they laid Him out there, and they stretched Him out, and they drove a railroad spike, essentially, through His wrists, and they crossed His feet up, and they drove to His feet, and they hung Him up there so that He would slowly suffocate to death. 6 hours He spent in humiliation there on the cross, and all the people did as they walked by was they wagged their head, and they said, He saved the Jews, bound to destroy the temple and build it again in 3 days. Certainly He could get Himself off the cross. They mocked Him. Where they crucified Him, the main thoroughfare in and to the city and out of the city was right below that hill. And all those people did was just, I thought He was the King of Jews. They mocked Him. You ain't never been humiliated quite the way Jesus was. And all He could have ripped Himself off that cross if He wanted to.
Amen.
He could have had all that pain be done if He wanted to. But He said, I love that vile, unworthy sinner just enough. Then I'll suffer.
Man.
I love you just enough that I'll suffer through. And don't let anybody fool you. The Roman soldiers didn't kill my God.
Right.
Because Jesus cried with a loud voice and He gave up the ghost.
Amen.
Because the Father was pleased with the sacrifice that was made.
Amen.
But what I love most
crucifixion was 3 days later.
Amen.
Because they took him to a tomb and they put his body in there and they rolled a stone and they went and they were meeting up with the chief priest there with Pilate, and they said, "Didn't this man say that after 3 days he would rise again? Let's go put soldiers out there so that way nobody can go get his body and say he did." And for 3 days they watched that tomb nonstop.
Says it was at the end of the Sabbath, as began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the tomb.
They came down there and they wanted to see the tomb. And I think they knew what was about to happen tonight. And it says, "Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow.
Amen.
And for fear of the keepers did shake, and became as dead men."
Amen.
They had a heart attack, locked over dead. What happened to them? "And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus which was crucified. But tonight this ought to get you riled up. That angel looked at Mary there and he said, He's not here. We kept this tomb sealed for 3 days and nobody could get in and nobody could get out. But your sacrifice, He's not here tonight. For He is risen." We ought to be wanting to shout the house down over there tonight. We need to say, if you're lost, I don't care what you are. The fact that He came and He died and He rose again after 3 days for an unworthy sinner like you ought to get you excited tonight.
He said, "See, and the place where the Lord lay, and all that was there was a folded up garment."
And He did all of that, lost sinner tonight, because He loved you.
Amen.
He did all that tonight, saved sinner, because He loved you.
Amen.
Try to wrap up here. I want to go to Revelation. I just want to look for a moment in time. Seventh Revelation. This was John here. This is what the angel revealed unto John. John wrote about what he seen. John, or Revelation 7, the ninth verse, John wrote, "After this I behold, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number." I want to back up what I said, and I want to back up Romans 10 and 13, where it said that for whosoever call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen to this. It says, "A great multitude which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues." Wasn't just the white English speaking people there.
That's right.
It was all people of all the world, of all the tongues.
Amen.
"And they stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palm branches in their hands. He cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God." And I'm getting ahead of myself. "Saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto him, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said unto him, Sir, you know. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulations and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Aren't you glad tonight that we have an opportunity to take this filthy old robe, and you've got a nasty robe tonight, and wash it just pure and white in the blood of the Lamb?"
Man.
And he says, "Therefore are they day before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple, and He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And I'm looking forward to the day when I will see this myself, and I know y'all don't worry about me when I'm gone, because this is where I'll be. I'll be there in my white robe with the palm branch in my hand, just fanning my God and worshiping my God, and listen to what it says for Satan. They shall hunger no more.
Amen.
Neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto the living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. The same hand and the same God that created everything that is and ever will be will just take and wipe the tears away from our eyes. Don't you want to go tonight? Don't you want to go tonight? Let me just have a few more minutes and I'll be done. Y'all don't want to go tonight. Because what's often left out is the alternative. If you're here tonight and you're lost and you're listening to me and you're lost and the Lord's dealing with you, the same God. And this is where my mind can't comprehend why. The same God that created this earth and created man and said, man is very good, that knew you and loved you before anybody else, and gave a sacrifice for your unworthy body and your unworthy soul, gave that sacrifice before anything else. Jesus Himself said, if you die once, He will look at you and say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. Never knew you. Revelation accounts to the fact that the smoke of their torment, those, what he said a few verses before this, that they would be marked with the mark of the beast. And it said that the smoke of their torment ascended forever and ever. And they knew no rest, either day or night. While I am enjoying an eternity of, as the Bible describes, things that we shouldn't even comprehend of the things of this earth. Can we talk about the streets of gold and the walls of jasper and the gates of pearl? They just said that so your Bible has some comparison. There ain't going to be no streets of gold if you're looking forward to it. I ain't first of all. There won't be a street of gold up there. Won't be no walls of jasper or gates of pearl. They had to write about something so our little feeble mind can begin to comprehend the beauty of heaven. You don't even know about mansions up there. They just had to give you something for your mind to begin to grasp. Beauty untold, and we sing an old song, eyes have not seen and ears have not heard what's waiting us there. And that's the truth of it tonight.
Yeah.
And while I'm there, and while all the others say, your mom and your daddy, whoever it may be, are there, you die lost and you'll be at eternity in punishment. A place created for the devil and his angels. What did He create for man? What did He create for you tonight? But that's where you'll find yourself. Tonight, while the Lord, now that you know there may be people outside listening, I hope there is. Tonight, while you have a time and an opportunity, at least try God.
Amen.
Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call on His name shall be saved. That's been my message tonight. Brother, we have a song. There's one here tonight lost. Go wherever you need to go. Make an altar wherever you need to make it. Love you.
Let's change books over to the Church of Songs and Hymns, and page number 310. Page number 310. Thank you.
Appreciate the gospel being preached. Appreciate Brother Anthony very much. Willingness to preach, boldness to preach that the Lord has given him. And if you're here and you've never been saved, those on the outside, they've been given an opportunity by God to hear the truth.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for that. While he was preaching, I was thinking to myself, I'm probably the oldest one, 50, that's either preached or done the singing. But just think about this, Faith Missionary Baptist Church, we've had all these preachers. Only one was in his 30s, all of them in their 20s. Those that can come younger, that would be the lead, play the piano. And so it just encourages me so much that we have those that will stand and preach what I heard when I was a little boy. And they're willing to do that. So I want us to come around, shake his hand, shake each other's hands. Altar's always open. And everybody just line up here. And I'm just so thankful and grateful to be here tonight.
Start back with 248.
Amen.
248.
And the girls did all four of us, but I had
preacher, man. And I mean, I don't even remember all the words, but I am so thrilled by these young preachers that have come along, and I'm encouraged. I hope and pray I'll get to preach to my children, the neighbors, and stay their accountability, and I expect you brethren to. And I really appreciate their study, their preparation, and their service to the Lord. And I love the Lord tonight, but just what an honor to Him and serve Him in the best we can tonight.
Well, I went down to an old cabin, it was just for to see the sky. But I got such a hearty greeting that I went back every night. They had an old-time gospel preacher from the good book he solemnly read. For being some preacher about the soul salvation, you often heard the things he said. You only heard him when he preached the blessed holy word. You only heard him, such preaching you've never heard. Well, he looked the congregation right straight in the face, and he started preaching about the saving grace. Preached about an hour about the sermon on the mount, and when he ended up, he had the devil home. You ought to murder him, that old-time preacher man. He left three songs for the congregation, and he held in a word of prayer. He turned to chapter 5 in Matthew, when he took his text from there. He preached the real old-time salvation, and he solemnly proved himself. For after he extended the invitation, there was a big sinner.
Brother, take your prayer. Pastor, not Captain, would you benediction? precious, all-wise Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before Thee once again, we're so thankful for one more opportunity to be back in Your house. Lord, thankful for this church here at Faith. Lord, thankful for what she stands for. Lord, I beg that You would always be with this wonderful congregation, be with our wonderful pastor. Lord, just be with everything that's said and done the rest of this weekend, Lord, as they meet back in the morning and tomorrow evening. Lord, send the lost in here, Lord, and if they may be outside, Lord, that they may be able to be saved wherever they are. Lord, we know You're not limited to just this building or any building. Lord, You're all over the place, Lord, and I'm so thankful for that tonight. Lord, I beg that You would be with the preachers that will stand tomorrow in the revival here. Lord, be with the preachers all over this world, Lord, as they stand and proclaim the good news. Lord, that there might be many lost souls born into the family of God tomorrow. Lord, tonight, before this day is over with, Lord, I'm just so thankful for what I'm able to feel down deep in my soul. Lord, thankful for Your saving grace, Lord, what You did for me when I was a little boy. Lord, I beg that You be with those tonight that may be lost under the sound of our voice. Lord, just bring us back to our next appointed time. And these things we ask in Thy perfect and Thy precious name. Amen.
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 One other, man. Please pray for Kyle Oliver. He got married today, and that's where the Olivers have been. They'll be here tomorrow night.
I've never seen one of them. I've never seen one of them.